Held each week on this frequency. My name is Bob, called WHQSQQ, and I'll be the net control this evening. Charlie's not able to make the net. For those of you who are new to the net, this is an open discussion of the various aspects of the radio listening hobby. Shortwave listening, broadcast band DXing, listening on a scanner. Basically, any frequency from DC through light, with the exception of amateur radio. And this evening during the net, I'll also be watching our email for those of you who are unable to check in, either because you can't make the repeater or because you don't have a license yet. Our email this week and every week is nydxa@yahoo.com. Once again, nydxa@yahoo.com. So when you're checking in, I would ask that you please give your name and your location, and if you have any traffic, and by traffic I mean if you have any questions or anything you'd like to share with the net.
So
with that, we'll begin checking and please space it out so you don't step on each other. This is WHQSQQ.
SQQ NI2O, good evening, no traffic.
This is W2LIE, Phil, Long Island, with traffic. OFT, Joe, Long Island, no traffic.
Cranford, New Jersey, 10, no traffic.
Control. This is KC2, MHY, Brooklyn, New York, no traffic.
WA2SQQ. Hello, Charlie 2, Sierra Uniform Romeo, Al, in Jamaica, Queens, no traffic.
Okay, we'll go with the list we have. I have NI2O, W2LIE, WA2OKZ, KC2MHY, and KC2SUR. And W2LIE, Phil, you had traffic, so I'll tell you what, let's start off with you, and we'll take another short list after you pass your traffic, and then I'll touch upon a few things here that we had planned for a discussion.
All right, very good. I'll just make it real quick. Suffolk County PD made a few changes this week. The highway department had stopped patrolling the LIE and Sunrise Highway out in Suffolk County. We have the Sheriff's Department is now patrolling those two stretches of highway. We have the Echo units patrolling the expressway and Sierra units patrolling Sunrise Highway from the Suffolk County line out east. We have three tall groups, the standard Suffolk County Sheriff's group. You got Sheriff 1 is Tall Group 848, Sheriff 2, Tall Group 880, and Sheriff 3, which is a digital group, is 22096. And I'm going to drop real quick, so I have something also for Nassau County. Okay, this weekend, Saturday, 9:27 at 10 p.m., Nassau County Office of Emergency Management is going to be doing a drill. They will be drilling at the Broadway Mall on Route 107 in Hicksville. Rumor has it that this is going to be a federal drill. It's possibly going to be an MCI drill with several victims from a terrorist attack. So this is not official information, but information that was passed along to me by somebody who knew a little bit more about it than I did. They do have signs posted on Route 107 in front of the mall telling the general public that there will be a drill this weekend. So it may be a good time to start getting the federal band to hear what we can find out. From what I understand, too, there won't be much fire department activity or hazmat activity on there. It's all going to be on the federal side. So hopefully I got some information report back next week. That's all I have. Back to that. This is W2LIE.
Okay, I just have one question. You said this weekend, and then you said 927. 927 would not be this coming weekend. It would be the following weekend. Is it this weekend, or is it on the 27th?
Okay, I'm rushing my dates. It's 927. That will be next weekend.
Okay, very good. Yeah, it might be worthwhile hanging around there with... see what you can pick up on the close call scanners. That's a good tip. See just, what we can come up with. Might be some good listening. Unfortunately, out here in New Jersey, I don't think I can copy Nassau County very well. But then again, the federal frequencies, the repeaters they're using actually do cover quite a large area, so might be worthwhile. Kind of in line with that federal activity, yesterday the UN General Assembly opened up. And I'm told that 408.1 in AFCO 25 has been quite active, so might want to put 408.1 in there and just leave it on, particularly during the daytime hours. Most of that traffic is going to be associated with the UN. Okay, I did also want to apologize for last week. Unfortunately, situation beyond my control, but my faithful little switching power supply here that's been serving me for many years turned into a fog machine. Kind of started humming, and I looked at it, and all of a sudden smoke was pouring out of it. So had to pull the plug, and unfortunately, I didn't have anything that I could hook up real quick. So that supply is gone, and... got a new Astron 50-inch supply for the gear. So we're back on the air, but I sent an email out to Justin, and I think he did make a quick announcement about that. I apologize, but just one of those things. Okay, anyway, we'll get through with that. Anybody... else have any traffic, and what we'll do is we'll just take another short listen here if anybody else wants to check in before I begin going over some topics that Charlie and I had planned to discuss this evening. Okay. So, what we're going to... kind of focus on today is many of you have already noticed the weather's changing, it's getting cooler, and as it gets cooler, the atmospheric noise, particularly on the lower frequencies, starts to get lower and lower and lower. And if you're into listening, for example, to either long wave or the broadcast bands, this is the beginning of that season. The nice thing about it is that for broadcast band DXing, you do not need any special equipment. In fact, most any AM radio works just fine. Our radios work great, and the older the radio, my experience has been, the better it works. So there's a lot of things you can do. After sunset is really when it starts, but you know, we turn on the AM radio and you kind of tune across the dial, and you know, the first thing you hit is WR 710, and then you hit WABC at 770, CBS at 880, and so on. if you just take the time to slowly tune between those frequencies. And as you're tuning, if you rotate the radio that you're using in different directions, the loopstick antenna in there actually does tend to be somewhat directive, or directional, I should say. And you'd be surprised what you can hear. What might be a weak station, if you just sit there and you listen, within a few minutes, the signal will come up. What's interesting is many years ago, I actually kind of got started in the radio hobby. I had an old Hallicraft, it was S120, and used to listen to the AM broadcast bands. A lot of those stations, if you write them a short letter giving them the time, the frequency, and the program information, they will even verify it with a QSL card. So you can get there with a simple AM radio, I think most nights, probably 1,500 miles is no problem. Chicago's no problem, and if you care to stay up later in the evening, for example, on 1160, it's not that difficult to hear stations like KSM,
Salt Lake City. You'll hear a lot of the Canadian stations, for example, right above WABC on 800 kilohertz. You can hear CKLW.
And then for those of you who understand Spanish, if you you listen down between 600 and 650 kilohertz, 620, 630, 640, there are several Cuban stations down there that are running quite a bit of power, actually. And it's actually fairly easy to hear Cuba. A lot of the amateur equipment that we have now are also general coverage receivers, and they work fine. The disadvantage you might have is if you live, for example, in Hudson and Bergen County, where I live, unfortunately most of the New York radio stations are here, and when you live like I do, about a mile and a half from WABC's transmitter, they tend to generate all kinds of noise, and let's just say they make that aspect of the radio listening hobby a bit more difficult. Now, one of the other things that they do is there are organizations like the National Radio Club who arrange what they call DX tests. And what a DX test is, they will actually negotiate with a radio station. And usually, say anytime between midnight and 2 a.m., they will schedule a 15 to 30 minute test. And during this test, the station will identify in Morse code, and they would play very distinctive music, usually like polka music or marching music. And the whole purpose of that test is to see how far that station can be heard at night. So if you are able to hear them during one of these monthly DX tests, you can send them an email or send a letter. And again, usually you'll get a nice either letter of verification or a QSL card as proof that you heard their station. The other thing that a lot of people are now doing is the traffic information stations that pop up, usually 1610, 1620, 1630 in that part of the band. You know, we kind of ride by and take it for granted that you can hear these things only a few miles from where they're intended to be heard, but I've actually heard those traffic advisory stations as much as 40 or 50 miles away. I actually have several different antennas. One of mine have is a what's called regenerative loop antenna, which is an amplified loop antenna that sits next to the radio, and it's got very, very sharp nulls. So what you can actually do is you can null one station out and then wait for the band conditions to change, and when that station is down in the noise, you'll actually hear other stations coming in. So the general rule of thumb is the colder it is, the better. The later at night, the better. And definitely in the, I would say, mid-December through the end of February is the peak season for listening to the AM broadcast band.
For the long-wave bands there,
you know, are there any tips for that in our club?
You reading my mind, because I was going to ask if you could give us some of your input on that. Below the AM broadcast band, AM broadcast band, by the way, is defined as 530 kilohertz up to 1700 kilohertz. The older radios only went up to 1600, and now where the AM broadcast band has been expanded out to 1700 kilohertz. But below 530 kilohertz, down to, I don't know, Mark, what, 100, 150 KC? There is what's called long wave, which is not really used here in the U.S., but long wave is actually very, very common in Europe and in other parts of the world. And these stations would not run 50 kilowatts, but they could run 100, 200, even 500 kilowatts of power, but at much, much lower frequencies.
And I saw...
Exactly.
Yeah, in Europe it's used as a broadcast band. Over here it's used as an aeronav band. And there's other things on this too. And yeah, we, in Europe at least, the long wave band stops at 120K. Below that you find things like, I can't think of the name of it now. They used to talk about submarines with it. So, I can't remember the name of it. But below that you start to get into kind of military use and the time frequency standards and things like that. You know, there's a lot of utility-type stuff below there, some flex stations and things. But the long-wave band is really interesting because, again, you don't need any special equipment. Most tabletop radios here in the U.S. don't have the long-wave band on it, but you're going to look very hard before you can find a radio that does have it. It could be your ham radio, or it could be just, you know, you might have picked up a radio on eBay that was imported over from Europe somewhere, and frequencies that you might want to be looking at there are things like 252 kilohertz, 198 kilohertz, 179 kilohertz, 162 kilohertz. The 252 frequency comes out of Ireland, but it's actually aimed at the UK. They have a three-bit curtain type antenna. But you get an awful lot off the back of that, and of course if you draw a straight line from the back of the antenna to, you know, across the Atlantic to us over here, well, it comes in kind of main type area. So, you know, the antenna is not pointed from Ireland directly to England, it's actually to the north of England, so that they can cover most of the country from their station in Ireland. And, so it, in order to get over here quite well in the winter, and usually in the early mornings, so kind of 2, 3 o'clock-ish, just as the grey line starting to break over in Ireland. 198 is interesting, let me drop it. NI2O. 198 is interesting for two reasons. It is BBC Radio 4. That's their long wave output. But it's also a frequency standard. Yeah, I know, it sounds a bit odd, doesn't it? 198 kHz, but it is. There's a very good reason why it's 198 kHz. All that's next, it carries a number of emergency alert sub-audio stuff on it, too. So, it's used for government switching, so if they needed to activate, let's say, the Amber Alert system, then it would happen on 198 kHz. If they needed to activate, you know, whatever they wanted to do. They also do things like switch different things off and on the power and water grid. Over here, I think you use pagers for that, but in England, they have a thing called Economy 7, where the 7 hours of nighttime electricity are bought at a lesser rate. So what they do is they send a signal out from Radio 4, and every electric meter in England is equipped with a 198 kHz receiver, and it changes the meter setting to whatever it's supposed to be to pick up the cheap electric. And you can often hear that kind of data as well arriving over here.
And there's lots of them over there. You know, all the state broadcasting things all have an outlet down there. So it gets to be quite an interesting band. And of course, listed amongst all the stations are navigation beacons and some shipping stuff, and it's really a cool band.
Okay, so the next question is, what happens when you live in an apartment and you can't, you don't have all the room for these antennas? Because remember, the general rule is, as the frequency goes lower, the antennas get longer. And there's a lot of different ways you can do it, which I'm going to try and cover. One of the websites that I suggest that you look into is at www.globaltuners.com. That's GlobalTuners.com. What Global Tuners is a website that will allow you to actively, or I should say in real time, not only listen, but take control of various receivers all over the world. In the United States, in Europe, literally all over the world. Some of the receivers are free, so to speak. And then the site also offers premium sites for a monthly or yearly membership. But what you can do, for example, is, and I've done this before, to try and get an idea what the propagation is, I would use a site in Europe and actually start tuning the AM broadcast band frequencies here in the U.S. to see how well the U.S. is being received over in Europe. You can pretty much pick any frequency that you want. It could be shortwave, it could be longwave, it could be broadcast, it could be FM. Some of these receivers are very modest, you know, something like a MagCom PCR 1000 and maybe a Disconi antenna. But there are receivers that are up in the northern parts of Scandinavia using beverage antennas, where the antennas in some cases approach 4,000 or 5,000 feet of wire, very, very directional, aimed at different parts of the world. Now, one of the advantages they have up in that part of the world also is you have aurora occurs quite often, and when you have aurora, radio propagation goes absolutely crazy. You would hear stations that you would probably never hear in 10 years. So if you think of it, you could be sitting, you know, in the Central Park area of New York City with the internet and actually be tuning in the world via receivers all over the world. It's kind of neat. So again, that site is www.globaltuners.com. The other thing is, where you live in New York City, as they say, there's a lot of man-made noise and so on. And, you know, the general way of thinking is, the larger the antenna, the more I'm going to hear. Well, that's not always true, especially with the AM broadcast band, because what happens is when you put up a very long antenna, a very high gain antenna, you get front-end overload. So you wind up hearing a lot of noise in very few stations. One of the tricks I've used is, there's an antenna that they refer to as a snake, which is usually 100 or 150 feet of coax. Your choice, 50 ohm, 75 ohm, doesn't matter. And then what you do is at one end of it, you actually short the far end out. And you actually use the center of the cable. You don't connect the shield. So it's kind of like a double long wire. Just lay this thing on the ground. In fact, some people actually bury it in the ground. Now, the advantage to this is it's not going to be up high, and you're certainly not going to get very strong signals. But what you will get is you'll get very, very low noise. So what a lot of people do is they'll take this type of an antenna, which is very lossy, and then feed it into a small preamp. And what you will find is that you can hear an awful lot. The signals won't be full scale, they may be quarter scale or half scale at best, but the idea is you're getting more signal and less noise, and it's a very free-form antenna. Just throw the stuff out on the ground, the longer the better. Using the antenna tuner, and it's another way that you can DX the low frequencies. Okay, so let's just take a brief standby, and we'll see if we have any more check-ins. And then we'll check if we have any questions or traffic and so on. We'll continue. WH Rescue Q.
WA2IWC Dawn in Manhattan with a couple of additions to the discussion and maybe a little bit of traffic.
Okay, Dawn, let's turn it over to you. Give my radio attend to cool down here a little bit. If you have any questions or any other discussions, then we'll continue on there. A few other things that I did want to mention. Actually, you know what? Let me just touch upon these few other issues that are coming up, and we'll turn it over to you here. Hang on a sec. Okay, so you know, one of the other things we have to continue or contend with now is these so-called HD. Radio, for example, WOR on 710 is running what they're calling high definition. It's actually what they call IBOC, where they're actually putting additional data in the sidebands of the signal. And when that started out, that was daytime only. Several months ago, the FCC actually allows them now to transmit this during the nighttime when the propagation is extended, what we call skywave. Now, unfortunately, one of the downfalls to IBOC is that if you have a receiver with a digital readout and you tune in 710, you'll hear WOR. But if you listen on either side of them, you will hear this very annoying buzz. And that buzz is actually their IBOC signal. So there's a lot of people that are in the radio listening hobby that are kind of complaining about that, saying, you know, it's impossible to listen to the adjacent frequencies. Not a whole lot you can do about it, unfortunately, but the various aspects of the AM broadcast band are changing. The other thing is, years ago, and I'm talking back in the 1960s, it was quite common that very, very late on a Sunday night, actually Monday morning, a lot of the stations would go off the air in the New York area for maintenance, and when they did, that actually opened up windows of opportunity that you would not normally have. So about 6 or 7 years ago, I got tipped off that WABC was going to go off the air. And I was ready for it. I had a tape recorder running, and sure enough, they went off for 2 hours. And what I was hoping for was to hear KLB out in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which has been one of those stations I've been trying to hear for years, but never managed to. Instead, I heard the Spanish station, so I recorded. I don't understand much Spanish. Took it to work, had one of the guys translate it for me. And it turns out it was a station in Bogota, Colombia. So I wrote him a letter, and I guess about a month went by. Came home, and there's a slip in the mailbox that I got a registered letter. Didn't say from where, so you get weak in the knees, am I getting sued or whatever. Go to the post office the next morning, and it's a letter from Columbia. Open it up. Actually, more than a letter, it was a very nice letter from the chief engineer, a flag from the station, refrigerator magnets, a whole bunch of things. And in that letter, it was interesting. He said because he didn't know why, but he said in all the years he worked there, he never, ever received any letters from people that heard their station. From the New York metropolitan area. And he didn't know why, and he asked me if I knew why. But actually, I fired him off a short letter saying, yeah, because WABC is usually on the air, and they seldom if ever go off the air. So this one little hour and a half, 2 hour window of opportunity allowed their signals to get up here into the northeastern part of the United States. So kind of things like that. You know, you listen and you hope for blackouts or whatever, that a station goes off the air. And it's kind of interesting to what you can hear. I actually get more of a thrill being able to copy the West Coast or copy a 500-watt station from the Midwest than I would listening to something on the shortwave bands. So, WA2IWC, WA2SQQ, what have you got to say, Week?
Yeah, good evening, Bob, and good evening to the rest of the net. First of all, to continue on the current discussion, you mentioned the snake antenna. Another variation of that, which may be easier for some people, is to get that same coax and do the same thing and wrap it around a large coffee can and bury it under the ground, and you'd be surprised what that antenna will bring in, and with almost no noise at all for the AM broadcast band. Of course, there are other devices out there too. You can, if you have room, to put up a couple of wires, or if you can have a loop and an AM WIP, for example, like you used to see on the cars in the 50s and the 60s, you can still get those. You can you can get what's called a phasing unit, which takes two antenna inputs. Usually you'll have a vertical and a horizontal antenna and put one on each input, and you can change the phase angle between those two antennas. And let me tell you, the DX you can pull in when you do something like that is truly remarkable. It really is. When I used to live in Valley Stream, Long Island, WABC was extremely strong there, and I was able to null them out and hear Senegal on just off their frequency a little bit. I don't know, what, 773, I don't remember. And you'd be surprised how many countries you can pull in on the AM broadcast band. I'm not a great BCBDXer, but I've pulled in many. And also the gray line period is a great time to hear the Caribbean, like St. Kitts, Anguilla, at one time Radio Granada and Radio Belize. It's a great time period to hear it during the gray line period, which you won't always hear them later at night as well. And also, as I think it's N2IO said, there's a lot of DX to be had on the long wave band. I've heard 198 and BBC4 and France, and also Algeria pokes in a hell of a signal on the long wave band during the winter. And the other thing I wanted to say was off subject, so I'll save it for later. But one thing I did want to say, Bob, is I hope you'll decide to cover the topic you started to cover last week when your radio died, because that was an excellent presentation, and I think the net would have gone on till midnight with discussion if your radio had held up. So I vote to do it again if you have the energy and the stamina one of these weeks. Now back to you, Bob.
I think maybe next week I'll try to do that. I don't know if you're on here early. I apologize. Normally I'm better prepared. I would have had another radio and so on, but I'm kind of moving some stuff around in the shack. And when that power supply went out, it wasn't only the power supply going out. It was getting rid of that burned PCB smell. We'll switch the power supply. I don't know what happened, but it went up and smoke started coming out of it. So I said, that's it. Time to throw it out. I fixed it once already. This time it went up pretty bad, so it served its purpose well. But but there's a lot to be said about AM broadcast band DXing in the low frequencies, but I think the one thing that needs to really, really be stressed is a good pair of headphones and a lot of patience, because it does get noisy, the stations get weak, but just as they fade out, they fade back up. What he was referring to is gray line time. The 15 or 20 minutes before the sun sets along to through 15 or 20 minutes after the sun sets, and then likewise the 15 to 20 minutes before and after the sun rises, during those times you get some very strange, almost unpredictable DX propagation. I know I sat there one time on the AM broadcast band, and I picked a station that didn't have anything particular. It was 580 or 590. And in the 15 or 20 minutes before the sun set, till maybe a half hour after, it was about five different states that I heard. And it was just all over the place. You're listening to one station, it was strong, it would fade out, another one would come in. And I remember many, many years ago, it was during one of those times, I was listening to one station. I think it was down in Tennessee. Hang on a second. And, in fact, I still have the bumper sticker where they sent me. This other station faded out, and it was in Spanish, and the only thing that I could make out was Mas Musicas. And I started hunting around, and I found out it was a station down in Puerto Rico. Sent them a letter, and I told them, I don't really have any details. I can tell you the frequency, I can tell you the time. And at this exact time, they kept saying Mas Musicas. And that was their slogan, and I got a very nice letter, and I got a bumper sticker. They didn't have any QSL cards, which I still have. So these little stations, they can be heard. I was on a cruise several years ago when down in the Caribbean, and tuning around the broadcast band, and was listening to a kind of a neat local station in Nevis. I think it was on, was it 555? I'm not sure, but it was down a low part of the band. I came home and tried and tried, and after a month and a half, lo and behold, I actually heard them up here one night. So wrote them a nice letter, and again, got a nice QSL card. There's also some navigation beacons down there. Now, the other thing that you also have to remember is with AM broadcast band DXing, an older tunable radio is much more desirable than a synthesized radio where you have, frequency steps for a number of reasons. Number one, the newer radios with digital readouts tend to be a lot noisier. Now, number two, in the United States, our stations are spaced out at 10 kc increments, 550, 560, 570, 580. That is not the case in the Caribbean, in Europe, and Africa. So you're going to have stations like 773 and so on. If you're listening to a station, which is coming in from another state, and you hear a heterodyne in there, that heterodyne is probably a foreign station, which is 2 or 3 kc off. What you can try doing is you can try tuning it in, try repositioning the radio, and if you're lucky and it's late enough and quiet enough, it's very possible that you're going to hear stations between the normal channels that we normally use. Okay, so anyway, I think we covered enough of the AM broadcast band. Pretty much, what it's all about, that low part of the frequency spectrum. Don, you got my curiosity. You got to elaborate on this coffee can antenna. I'm talking 100 to 150 feet of coax. How are you going to wind that around a coffee can?
I'll have to find the article. It certainly wasn't that much coax. It really wasn't a lot of coax. There may have been something else you had to do to it, but you did wind it around a big coffee can. And, you say to yourself, well, God, that can't be much more than, I don't know, 10 feet of coax, 15 feet of coax. But, of course, because you're short the far end out, it doubles that. But I saw an article in some magazine or another, and if I have it around, I'll try to find it. And I actually heard an audio demonstration of it, and I was amazed at how well it worked. But part of the reason was because it was under the soil, so it was buried in the soil. And I don't know if you realize, but if you want to do long wave band DXing, one of the ways that a lot of long wave DXers do it is they get a high impedance front end or a transformer that maybe is a 50 ohm coax at one end and maybe a 2, 4, 6, maybe 800 ohm tap at the other end. And they run the coax and the transformer out to a tree and maybe sink a little ground rod and ground that outside case of the transformer and maybe run 20 or 30 feet of wire off the highest impedance tap on that transformer right up against the trunk of the tree, up vertically on the tree. And there's long way DX you can pull in like that with very little noise. Is really amazing.
Yeah, if you find any information on that, I'd like to see it. I just thought of something else that you may want to look at, completely different end of the spectrum. But if you go up on Google and you do a search for K7MEM, K7MEM, I think he's out in Arizona, and he has a very interesting and a very useful antenna page. If you click on Yagi Antennas, he has a calculator in there if you wanted to design a Yagi antenna for virtually any frequency. One of the things I'm trying to do is to be able to listen to the state police down in the central part of New Jersey. And I can hear their data channel, but it's just a little bit too weak. So I started putting together a very nice antenna. I got a 48-inch piece of 3/4-inch extruded aluminum bar stock, you know, square tubing. And I got some brass rods, and with about 3 minutes of popping in some numbers on his page, came up with all the dimensions for a very nice 13-element Yagi for 858 meg that's going to give me almost 13 dB gain. So, very easy to put together, and if you want to fool around with some directional antennas, you can use his page. There's a lot of interesting things on there, but again, just Google K7MEM, and you can, it'll take you to his webpage, and you can do some exploring. He's got a lot of JavaScripted applications on there. If you want to do audio filters or power supplies or anything like that, where you just plug in the values and it'll give you all the information. So I thought I'd share that this evening as well, for those of you who want to maybe build some scanner antennas. I just did a quick search on coffee can antennas, and unfortunately everything comes back to Wi-Fi antennas, which I knew for, you know, building, extending your Wi-Fi range. So if you find anything on that, please let me know. I'm very curious about that. The winter's coming, and during those cold, quiet nights, there's a lot of good radio listening that can be had. One last thing. And if we go down a little bit lower in the frequency, between 160 and 190 kilohertz, and this is going to require a fairly good antenna, and you got to be in a fairly low noise location. That part of the band is actually allocated for experimentation, and there's a group of people down there called loafers. You will hear CW beacons on there. They send it very, very slow with you know, you might hear something like NLE or, you know, OME or something like that. And you can find lists of these beacons on the Internet. What these are, I believe they're restricted to 1 watt or less. They're restricted to certain size antennas. But they are very low frequency experimental beacons. and most of them are run by hams that want to see how far they can get out. I think the best one I've gotten was down in Delaware. I had one in Oakland, New Jersey, and I found a few in Pennsylvania. So if it's very, very quiet at night, you can hear those things for maybe 100, 150 miles if you're lucky. And you just got to tune really slow, put the radio in CW mode, nice narrow bandwidth, and start listening for these beacons. But that's another good indication as far as how the broadcast band propagation is on any given night. Okay, Don, you had a few off-topics. Why don't we take those? Let's just take a brief standby at 945 and see if we have any additional check-ins. This is WA2SQQ. Okay, no check-ins. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, WHYWC. Very good, Bob. Well, thanks for a real nice presentation. And one more thing I'll say on the subject is Bob mentioned sometimes the heterodynes that you'll hear. Right when you're in the center of an AM broadcast band station, sometimes you'll hear a lot of times a thousand cycle tone. You'll wonder why, and the reason is because it is an AM broadcast band station from a foreign country underneath, and they're usually off frequency by a KC because of the allocation being 9 KC steps. And one of them that is very, very common, so if you think you've never heard DX, one of them is very, very common that you can hear a lot in the winter is if you listen to WLS in Chicago on 890 or that station in Dedham, Massachusetts on 890, you'll hear a thousand cycle heterodyne, and that's also the AM broadcast band service of Radio Algeria, and they put in a hell of a signal in this country because they're running probably 100 kW. Maybe more. And don't think you can't pull in foreign countries on the AM broadcast band, because you can pull in quite a few if you just try. Okay, well, anyway, I have a Radio Shack. Let me get a nickel here. I have a Radio Shack. No, not a Radio Shack. I take that back. I always screw it up. I have a GRE, as police, fire, scanner, etc. A PSR 600. And I've recently wanted to upgrade the firmware in it. And there's two different firmware packages for it. There's a package to upgrade the CPU, and there's a separate package to upgrade the DSP chip. And I've been able to successfully flash the CPU, but I've had trouble upgrading the DSP side of it. So if anybody out there has a PSR 600 or a PSR 500 that would be willing to trade a few emails back and or something, I would much appreciate some assistance. And they can either contact me on the net here, or maybe via email, or send a note like @yahoo.com, and Charlie or Bob can link us up together. I very much appreciate it. Thanks, and back to net, WHYWC.
Okay, very good. Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have any of that brand of radio, so I can't help you, but we'll see what we can do for you. For those of you who live out on Long Island or near the water, boy, I envy you. There's a lot of broadcast band DXing, by the way. If you live very close to the water, then you guys will be able to hear that we will not hear. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to be down on Long Beach Island in South Jersey, and I put out about 400 feet of wire from the condo that I was in across the sand dune right to the beach where the water came up. And, oh, I'm trying to remember now, that night, UK, Radio France, I think, about four or five countries. And it's interesting because you could hear them, and I could even hear the heterodynes on my car radio. You start driving, and you got two or three blocks away from the ocean, and they were gone. So there is some truth to that belief that a lot of this DXing is almost due to conductivity in salt water. If you are very close to the water, you're going to have a very big advantage to hearing transatlantic DX much, much easier than we would here in the U.S. I should say inland, not in the U.S., but inland. Anybody have any questions about it or whatever, drop us an email and I'll be happy to share with you. I've got conservatively 40 plus years of listening to the broadcast band. I've got QSL cards here from stations that don't even exist anymore. So it's been a long road, but it's one of the aspects of the radio hobby that I've never lost an interest in. It really is very interesting. And as I say, the older the radio, the better. In fact, if you can get your hands on an old car radio from the 60s or 70s, they were by far the best. A lot of them had 262.5 kilohertz IF as opposed to normal 455. And that lower IF frequency gave you excellent sensitivity and selectivity. So I got an old 1974 Ford car radio here that I use, and it's an excellent receiver for broadcast band DXing. Okay, with that, I'm kind of out of topics. I'm just trying to look here. NI2O, WHQ2, do you have anything you'd like to add, maybe? I guess not. Okay. So much for that. We'll keep everybody active here. And thank you very much for coming on the net. We'll look for you next week. And again, my apologies for those of you who showed up late last week and said, where's the net? Hopefully this power supply won't die on me, and we'll be able to continue here on schedule. WHQ2, at this time we'll turn the repeater back over to normal use, and also like to thank the guys who run this great system for allowing us to use it every week. WHQ2.
WHQ2, this is WA2O, KZ.
Yeah, thanks,
Ken. I do a Google search on underground antenna, and I did find the second thing down on the list was experiments on ground radio, and it looked like they had a coil of wire around something underground, but there's a lot of stuff on underground antenna experiments. Here's one here in underground antenna experiments on 160 meters. You might want to just search on that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at that right now. It's interesting. Yeah, years ago we tried this. I took two pieces of copper rod and drove them into the ground, and actually tried loading up the ground as an antenna. And this actually was on CB on 27 megahertz, and it was quite interesting because I had a friend of mine who lived about 4 or 5 miles away, and we were actually able to talk with each other. Signal strength was very, very low, but yet we could talk with each other and didn't hear a whole lot of noise. So I often wondered if it was really using ground conductivity, but I'm going to look into this. very interesting, especially with 160 meters, because there's a lot of neat stuff on 160. Yeah, I've got, probably about 30 states worked on 160, and again, I'll get a bigger thrill out of working the West Coast on 160 than I will working, you know, anywhere else in the world on the higher bands. So, a lot, appreciate it. WA2SQ.
Okay, I hope, you know, you find something good there. I'd like to play around, too. The other topic you might consider one of these days is pirate radio. And they'll be coming out of the woodworks on Halloween. That's the big night. But anyway, have a good evening. We'll talk to you again. It's WA2OKZ clear.
Yeah, it's on the list, actually, pirate radio. That's a whole other aspect of it, but we'll try to cover that in there as well. Anybody has any of these ideas, either drop an email or do not hesitate to get on here and say, hey, here's another thing you want to talk about. Introduce it during the net. As we have said many, many times, this is not discussions that Charlie and I come up with. This is about what everybody's interested in. So if anybody has anything that they want to discuss that we're not discussing, just please speak up. WA2SQ. Catch you next week.